Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, unfortunately, the coronavirus is still rampaging around the world and in Israel as well. We are seeing our second wave happening here. Still, we have been very fortunate, even though every death is a loss to the world and breaks families. Our death toll has been very low, under 500 people, and people around here are still under semi-lockdowns. It depends how vulnerable you believe that you are, but most people are not going to too many places. And in the meantime, there are these great efforts looking and trying to find a vaccine, a magical potion that is going to be able to protect us. Now, there's a big debate on vaccines generally, whether they're safe or not. We've heard about a lot of movements against vaccines, parents who are afraid that perhaps their children are becoming autistic because of the side effects, and other people saying you're endangering my child if you don't give them vaccines. And we're talking about a vaccine now that everyone is hoping for, but yet has no history to it to know if it's really safe, to know what the long-term effects might be. So we are going to be talking to a specialist, an expert on vaccines on this show today, a doctor who speaks internationally on this issue of vaccines. And you are welcome to call into the show with your questions or comments. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And we would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, this is your opportunity to get them answered by an expert. And of course, I have to preface all of this with that before making any decisions, you need to speak with your own healthcare provider, your own doctor, to find out what they say before you make your decisions. This is going to be a show filled with information for you to help you make the decision and ask your healthcare practitioner about any concerns that you might have. And again, it's a live show if you're listening on Sunday morning, U.S. Eastern Time, or if it's the afternoon here, holy time right here in the land of Israel. It means that we are live and you can call in. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage. We'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Will the corona vaccine be safe? Well, we're going to be having an interview now with a vaccine expert. And of course, I want to preface this all again with you have to, of course, speak with your own doctor or health practitioner on this matter. This interview is for informational purposes only, to help you make a decision and to help you ask the right questions that you may need in order to know with your health provider whether certain vaccines are safe for you. Our guest today is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She is an osteopathic medical doctor, widely regarded as the most knowledgeable and outspoken physician on the adverse impact that vaccines can have on health. She's been a guest on hundreds of radio and national television programs, including the Dr. Oz Show and the Today Show Australia. She speaks both nationally and internationally and is a recognized expert on a wide range of topics within the field of integrative medicine, including women's health, hormone treatment, and the medical uses of iodine and the adverse effects of vaccines that they have on health. So Dr. Tenpenny is the author also of several books, including the bestseller Saying No to Vaccines. And I know that's very hard today, especially when you're taking your kids in to get what's expected by the government to give them. Her articles for magazines have been published in over 10 languages around the world. And she joins us today to talk about the use of vaccines and what we need to know before we agree to receive an injection of it into our bodies. You can visit her website at, I'm going to give you three websites here, Dr. Tenpenny.com. We're going to, by the way, we're going to post all of these links on our page where the show is podcasted after we go live now. Vaxter.com, that's with two X's. And most importantly, CoursesForMastery.com. And the four is a numeral four. So it's a lot I had to say, but she deserves this introduction and we're having her on the show now. Welcome, Dr. Tenpenny.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Wonderful to have you on. I've been looking forward to this because there's a big debate about vaccines. I mean, we know that vaccines have saved many people's lives or saved them just from being sick or having terrible repercussions from getting some of these nasty diseases that have plagued us throughout the centuries. But there's also a big debate, you know, not even just the vaccine itself, but even what is the material that they use to keep the vaccine active while it's I forget the right term for it, but like they use mercury in order to keep shelf life for these things. And so we have a lot of questions for you. Some people believe that the vaccines have been a cause of a spike in autism in our children. Some are worried about this new vaccine, about the COVID-19 virus that has no time to really be tested to see what the long-term effects might be or its safety. So saying all of this, where would you like to start?
Wow, that's a mouthful to unpack. There's a lot of things that you said, one right after the other there. I think that maybe we should start with the idea that what you said is that a lot of people believe in vaccines. I think that we have to understand that it is a belief. It's a faith. It's a trust. It's like a religion because, you know, we don't generally say, you know, I believe in light bulbs or I believe in telephones. It's a product. And vaccines it's become like a mystical product that we believe it's so important for our children to be vaccinated so that they don't contract one of these infections. And I've worked really hard in the last couple of years to try to get people's language changed around the childhood infections, around measles, mumps, rubella, chicken pox, pertussis. Those are infections. We've all had infections, sinus infection, bronchitis, bladder infection. You know, you cut your finger, you get a skin infection. Infections are something that come and go in a week to 10 days, and in the vast majority of people who contract them, leave behind either a lifetime of immunity if it's a childhood illness, or it just heals up and goes away. So when you have measles or mumps or chickenpox or the flu, or even pneumonia for most people, it's an infection. It comes and goes. That is a distinction away from a disease. A disease is something that comes and stays. A disease is something like a seizure disorder, an autoimmune disease such as lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or cancer. That's a disease. Measles is not a disease. We call it an infectious disease, but I think more appropriately, it's just an infection.
Okay, so it's good that you brought up flu shots also because I want to ask you about that. But okay, so, but you know, I remember when I was married and I was of childbearing age. I've just passed that stage. I had to get a mumps, measles, MMR, mumps, measles, rubella shot because they were afraid that, you know, if I got pregnant and it was going around my neighborhood or wherever I was, that I could, God forbid, give birth to a baby that is deaf or has some type of problems. And so I got that shot as an adult. Apparently, I didn't get it when I was a kid for some reason. I don't know why. What do you have to say about people are saying, well, this could protect birth deformities.
Well, you're specifically speaking about rubella. And congenital rubella is a real condition. We saw a lot of it back in the 1940s and the 1950s. But truthfully, there's a very narrow window of opportunity for which, if you're pregnant, that you're exposed to a rubella virus, that it can cause birth defects. It's somewhere between in the first trimester of pregnancy. And you have to have a close exposure to someone who has active rubella for up to 30 minutes. Face-to-face contact is what the CDC describes. So congenital rubella is a real condition. We rarely see it anymore, partially because most women have been exposed to it when they were a child, or they got exposed to someone who was vaccinated and their body developed an antibody response to it, or because they're overly vaccinated women now against rubella. We barely see it. And if you didn't have a rubella titer, it usually, again, there's a very narrow window of exposure, which there's not a lot of rubella out there these days, a very narrow window of exposure of close physical contact for up to 30 minutes. So it's much more, in my opinion, it's much more of a theoretical risk than a real risk. Now, here's a place where I believe that individual vaccine antigens for the MMR vaccine would be of great value. Now that we're pushing forward on these mandatory vaccines for school and for military and for working in hospitals, a lot of times people will go get a blood test called a titer test, T-I-T-E-R. It's a blood test that looks for a particular antibody level that the powers that be and the pro-vaccine people say that if you've got a antibody titer of a certain level, then that defines you as being immune. But if you get a measles, mumps, and rubella titer, and let's say that it's only the mumps titer that's low, now you're forced to get a medication, a procedure, which is a vaccine, which is a medical procedure, with injecting material into you that you don't need. I mean, if all you needed was a mumps vaccine and you were forced to also get an extra dose of measles and rubella, I mean, that's, in my opinion, inappropriate medical care. And it's not necessarily just benign. And so if they had individual vaccines for measles, mumps, rubella, and maybe even diphtheria and tetanus and pertussis, I believe that that would be a much more appropriate medical intervention for those who choose to be vaccinated.
So I need to be clear on this, because I have a friend who did develop, I guess it was rubella, as you said, when she was pregnant, and her daughter is deaf. She's a friend of mine. And so what are the dangers of a woman getting the vaccine and any dangers from it versus, you know, actually having it happen to one of her kids like this woman did?
You're supposed to get vaccinated with a live virus vaccine a minimum of 60 days in advance of getting pregnant. A minimum of 60 days. That's the instructions on the package insert. At least 30 days before getting pregnant, because measles, mumps, and rubella are all live viruses that have been weakened and into the vaccine and injected. So that, quite frankly, and this is something they talked about back in the 1950s and 60s, is that some of the congenital rubella cases came from actually the vaccine. And so because they got the vaccine and then they got pregnant in too short of time interval in between there. So and also the rubella vaccine, at least in the United States, where we actually have a vaccine, it's the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Act that was passed in 1986. Associated with that is something called the VAERS database, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, where you can report an adverse event. And there is also a way to file a claim for compensation if you've received a vaccine and you've been injured. The rubella vaccine is one of the vaccines that they call a tabled injury, which means that if you received an MMR or an individual antigen rubella vaccine, and within 42 days, within, you know, 6 weeks, you develop severe debilitating arthritis, you are entitled to compensation from the government for that. So that tells you that the vaccine does have complications and side effects, particularly when administered to adults. Yes, there are people that have any of the pathogens that are out there, people can have an adverse reaction to it. It all just depends on where you want to fall on the belief in the statistics. One in a million, one in 2 million, rare case of things. Yes, you can still get it if that's your number that comes up. But there is a potential severe side effect of chronic debilitating arthritis that you can get compensation for in the U.S. from the government if you've had a rubella vaccine and developed that within, I think it's 42 days of having the shot.
Okay, we're going to a break right now, but when we get back, I want to ask you about if there are any vaccines that you would recommend, and if not, why. I don't know the answer to it, so I'm looking forward to it when we get back from the break. And also, I want to ask you about the material that they use inside vaccines to keep the vaccine valid. I don't know the technical term. Maybe you can tell me during the break and I can introduce it properly, but I'm interested about that too because I've heard things about it. We're going to be right back, everybody. Feel free to call in. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's M-A-R-S-E-A Modest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
Two new shows on Israel News Talk Radio.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about vaccines. Should you or shouldn't you? And there's all the talk now about developing a new vaccine to save us from COVID-19, and we're all waiting for it because we all want to get back to our lives again. But the question is, there hasn't been enough time to test these things. And what about all of the other things that we've been giving our kids throughout the years, even generations? Are they safe? So our guest today is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and she's talking to us about the safety of vaccines. And again, I just have to preface this with that everyone should always discuss these things with their health practitioner before making their decision. So when we were talking in the last part of the program, Dr. Tenpenny, I wanted to ask you about, are there any vaccines that you would recommend we give our children or ourselves?
Well, it's important to understand. I think it's important for your listeners to understand a little bit more about my background. I mean, my first career, I was a board-certified emergency medicine physician. I was the director of a level 2 trauma center for 12 years. I moved to Cleveland, Ohio in 1996 to open my own medical clinic that we treat, we holistically and medically treat a whole list of things. We're like a family practice clinic that does both integrative holistic medicine and conventional medicine. I've been studying problems associated with vaccines for 20 years, and I've invested more than 40,000 hours, 40,000 hours of my own time digging through peer-reviewed literature, mainstream literature from the Centers for Disease Control, the NIH, and all of the other mainstream medical literature places. So I'd never get my information from conspiratology.com or from popular blogs or places like that. And all of the articles and everything that I've written have always been footnoted and referenced from mainstream peer-reviewed medical literature. I have a personal collection of more than 12,000 links to full text and abstract articles showing problems associated with vaccines. So I think it's important for you to understand that because it puts your question into context. Your question is, are there any? And my answer is no. With the exception of perhaps a rabies vaccine, which is always intended to be a therapeutic vaccine for someone who is bitten by a rabid or a suspectedly rabid animal. Once you start investigating each one of the vaccines and you know what's coming through that needle, because I believe that we are taught or we are led to believe that the only thing that's in a vaccine is a little attenuated or weakened virus or a little particle of bacteria with some sterile water. And we think that that's all that's in there. And so, of course, if we can inject that and develop an antibody that could keep us from getting sick, why not do it? But when you understand there's anywhere from 3 to 12 chemicals in each one of those shots, they've never been tested for synergistic toxicity. None of the vaccines have been tested against a true placebo to see about safety. And you can have a vaccine that develops a high antibody response and still contract the infection for which you've been vaccinated against. Then you start putting the pieces together to say, well, I think I would rather keep my child healthy by getting them to bed on time, giving them vitamins and good food and washing their hands instead of injecting them with foreign matter, ostensibly to protect against a fever, a cough, a rash, and some diarrhea, which is what the vast majority of these childhood infections are.
But what about things like polio? I mean, we give them drops on their tongue for polio.
Yeah, well, polio was eliminated. There was only about 100 cases of wild-type polio in the entire world in 2018, and I believe the number was a little bit more than that in 2019. So out of a population of 7.7 billion people, we had 100 cases of polio infection, and polio is not a synonym for paralysis. The vast majority of people that contract polio infection end up with what looks like a stomach flu. 97%, and that's CDC data, 97% of people who are exposed to a polio virus end up with no infection at all. They're asymptomatic, or it looks like they've got a little bit of a stomach flu. And the vast majority of vaccine injury these days and the vast majority of paralysis is coming from those little drops that you put underneath your tongue, because that's a live virus vaccine. And they eliminated wild-type polio in India, and they replaced it with a non-polio acute flaccid paralysis, which is a very aggressive type of paralysis in India, that about 50,000 kids per year are injured or die from that virus, even though they have eliminated the wild polio virus. So the polio, big topic to unpack. In fact, when we do our twice annual boot camp course, we've got open enrollment for our 8-week online boot camp course will be coming up in September. We spend a long time talking about smallpox and polio, because if you're new to the topic and you've never done any investigation really, or minimal investigation into vaccines or problems that are associated with them, the topic always starts with what about smallpox and what about polio? And those are both, they've written lots of books on those topics. It's a big topic to unpack. Mm. And so the main takeaway from this sector of our discussion is polio is not a synonym for paralysis. 97% of people who were exposed to polioviruses back in the day when there was a lot of wild polio around, which there isn't so much anymore, that 97% recovered uneventfully. And so polio is not a synonym for paralysis.
I'm hearing you, and yet I remember I went to school in the 1960s. There was a girl in my class. Her name was Paula. I won't mention her last name. And she had polio. And I remember her having one leg that was very thin and weak and another leg that was a regular leg. And I'm just thinking the risks of taking the vaccine against, God forbid, having this yourself or having your child have it. I'm just wondering how bad are the risks of really taking the vaccine?
Here's the case. You know, we always talk about the one case, right? The one case of somebody that contracted something, as opposed to the 97% of people who were exposed to the virus and had no symptom and recovered uneventfully. It's the same sort of fear factor that they're putting in about COVID-19 and the SARS-CoV-2 virus. 99.9% of people who are exposed to that virus or become ill from it globally recover uneventfully. But the one case, that's what keeps the fear factor going. And globally, the only people that are contracting paralysis these days are from the oral polio vaccine. In fact, in the United States, we stopped using the oral polio vaccine in 2000 or 2001 because the only cases of paralysis we were seeing was actually coming from the vaccine.
All right, let's go to a caller. We have Thomas joining us, I believe, from Colorado.
Wow.
Thomas?
From Texas.
From Texas. Sorry, Texas. Texas. Okay, good old Texas. All right, what's your comment or question for Dr. Tenpenny?
This might be moving a little forward or off the line of thought, but I was wondering, is this COVID virus, is it decreasing in strength as it goes on? It seems like fewer and fewer people are dying from it. They're not getting as sick. And I was wondering if it's the strength of it is decreasing.
Yes, it is. And that's an excellent question, because the death rate has plummeted all over the world, and particularly in the United States. And there was actually a report that came out yesterday. It was on Fox News, that they actually said that they were concerned that the virus was going away and becoming weaker and weaker and weaker over time, to the point that when they get the vaccine developed, that they may not be able to actually even have an adequate test, because so few people that are getting sick from the virus or that are dying from the virus, they're not going to know if the vaccine is effective at all. And so in my opinion, that's what the masking is all about, because we have to keep the fear factor going long enough to get this vaccine out that has never been tested. We've never been able to develop a coronavirus vaccine because it causes accelerated autoimmunity in all of the animal studies. In this particular vaccine, they bypassed the animal studies for two reasons. Number one, they know the animal studies have already failed. The animals either got terribly sick or died. And number two, they need to push this out in part of the agenda before the virus actually attenuates itself and makes it go and goes away. Coronaviruses have been in circulation for more than 60 years. And we know on a global basis, more than 40% of influenza-like illness is caused by a coronavirus every single year. So that RNA virus, as it passes through a community, it weakens and attenuates as it goes on. There's over 150 mutant strains that we know about already. So how can we possibly be developing a vaccine against a virus that continues to mutate and continues to weaken? So thank you for that question. It was excellent.
Well, thank you, Thomas, and thank you for calling in. And we're about to go to another break again, but I want to ask you, you know, there's conspiracy theorists who are saying, and perhaps they're right, I don't know, that they're going to threaten people that you have to take the vaccine, because if you don't, they won't let you on airplanes, they won't let you in stores, they won't let your kids in school, unless you can show that you have taken the COVID vaccine, they're going to basically punish you and make you like a leper. So what is a person to do in a case like that? I'll have you respond very quickly. 30 seconds.
That's not a conspiracy theory. That's an absolute truth.
Okay.
And we're already starting to see that. And we're already starting to see the app tracking, the social tracking, and the contact tracing. We're seeing downloadable apps that you're going to have to show to be able to get into all of those places. That is not a conspiracy theory at all.
So what do you advise?
Know your rights, and I think that you need to make a decision before it happens what you're going to do about accepting this experimental vaccine that could kill you versus your social applications. Right now, there are big groups all over the world that are fighting this at a very high level. So I hope that we have some great success for retaining your right to refuse.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you when we get back from the break also about the motivations. What would be the motivations of the governments to force you to take vaccines as you're saying it's so dangerous? And maybe you can answer that when we get back. We'll be right back.
Yes.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about vaccines, their safety, should you or shouldn't you? And our guest is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and she's answering our questions. She wrote a book called Saying No to Vaccines, and it's very difficult to do so. And in my question, when I was going for to a regular checkup, Dr. Tenpenny, the nurse was really trying to persuade me to take a flu shot. I didn't want to take it. I just don't trust it. And she was really pushing me, are you sure everyone's supposed to be doing this? And I told her, no. So what is the motivation of our governments that are enforcing or trying to enforce all of their population to take these vaccines on a regular basis?
Well, the pharmaceutical industry pretty much runs the world these days, and they have this message of safe, effective, and necessary. And they just keep, like we started out at the top of the hour, saying it's a belief system, and they believe that you have to have this so that if you get a flu shot, you won't get sick, which is not true, because only 15% of the circulating of illness in any given flu season is caused by influenza viruses. So that means if the vaccine works at all, it's going to keep you from getting sick 15% of the time, and you can still get influenza-like illness by other pathogens, including coronaviruses and pseudomyxoviruses and adenoviruses and a whole list of other things.
Okay, so you're saying basically that the motivation is just greed from pharmaceutical companies to try to sell their products. That's what you're saying, flat answer?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And they'll have to read your book to find out more why. All right, let's say hello to Antonio calling in from Washington, D.C. Antonio?
Yes.
Hi, where are you calling in from?
From Washington, D.C.
Okay, what's your comment or question for our guest, Dr. Tenpenny?
Okay, can the doctor provide some safeguard routines to do to get rid of, make sure you don't get the virus overall? I mean, I have some few, may or may approve or not, like taking zinc, vitamins, using Castel, Dr. Bullard Castel.
So you want prevention techniques.
And then another thing, hit the mouth, hit her, if she can talk about using peppermint oil and lavender oil, which in med school, where when I was a student at the time, you put it inside your nostrils so the bacteria do not get into your nostrils and so forth.
Okay, so Dr. Tenpenny, he wants to know about preventive measures and peppermint oil and lemon oil in your nostrils. What do you have to say?
Lavender.
Lavender,
okay,
sorry.
So the most important thing, if you're going to get any testing done at all, the important thing to do is to get a vitamin D level. Your vitamin D level needs to be somewhere between 80 and 100 in order for it to be therapeutically protective. So vitamin D is important. The caller mentioned zinc, which is very important, particularly against this SARS-CoV-2 virus. It seems to inhibit the ability of the body to absorb zinc. So taking zinc before you get sick is a very good thing to get your zinc titer level up. I would say somewhere between 30 and 50 milligrams a day. And some people would advise taking 1 milligram of copper with that in that zinc-copper ratio. Vitamin C is always really important. A minimum of 3,000 milligrams a day for most people is a good standard dose, because humans do not manufacture vitamin C inside of their body. They can only get it extrinsically, and they only store a very small amount of it in their adrenal glands. So when you first start getting a fever and start getting sick, your vitamin C levels plummet. So it's good to have your body saturated with vitamin C before you get to that place.
Okay.
The oil, the peppermint oils and the lemon oils and or the lavender oils inside of your nostril, there's a whole bunch of different essential oil products that you can use for that, including colloidal silver. And so there are a lot of natural things that can be done just to support the health of the body instead of worrying so much about treating infections.
All right. Very good answer. So beforehand, vitamin D, zinc, vitamin C, and you can use these oils as well. You can look it up in other books. All right. Let's go to another caller we have joining us, Mike from, I believe, Los Angeles.
Wow.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. I think Trump handling of coronavirus is awful. You know, we would claim to be the first country in the world, but apparently we are the first in the coronavirus casualty. You know, the point is, I heard that Mayor Trump said on CNN that Donald Trump is a psychologically deeply managed man. You see that he has
all right, okay, okay.
Managing the coronavirus.
Bring him down. Okay, Mike, it's not a stage for you to go on a political tirade right now. But what do you have to say about, thank you for your call, Mike. What do you have to say about the way that Trump is handling the COVID-19?
You're asking me that question?
Yes. I mean, that's what he wanted to know. He wanted to complain also, yeah, but we don't have time for that.
I don't really think it's about Trump. I think it's about Fauci.
Okay.
And he put Fauci out there front and center to show what a horrible person he is, in terms of, now that people have dug into his historical backdrop, and we've actually been able to see, there's two things that have been good, in my opinion, that have come out of this whole shutdown and lockdown and masking and social distancing. Number one is that people were able to see upfront, people are now talking about vaccines to a level that has never been talked about before. So people that it never really made their radar screen, they never had any concerns, suddenly they're paying attention. They're going, what? You're fast-tracking a vaccine? We're not going to have safety studies, animal studies, and we're going to get this to market in less than a year, and usually it takes a minimum of 5 years. We've got people that have a microscope on this, or a magnifying glass on this vaccine issue, that have never happened before. The second thing is, people have been exposed to what these mathematical models are and how every single model that they have put out has been wrong. And now when you talk about their mathematical modeling of saving the world with vaccines, it has to be questioned, because we understand it's something that comes out of a computer system. It's not a head count. And so I think that those two things that people are now looking at and examining more closely than ever before are going to change the paradigm around vaccines being safe, effective, and necessary.
Okay, so I just want to go over a few things before our time is up today on the show. And number one is, you're saying that, in your opinion, no vaccines are necessary. We have to be careful what they use as preservatives in these vaccines in order to keep them fresh and have shelf life. Those are dangerous, as well as the other chemicals and things that they put in there. You're also saying that people can keep healthy and just their natural health should be able to fight off these diseases and or infections that we give vaccines for. And you're talking about using getting out in the sun, getting vitamin D, zinc, vitamin C, using essential oils perhaps to help fight off infections when something's going around like this, and that we should be very leery of these vaccines, especially like the flu shots and the COVID-19 that they want to, now everyone's scrambling to try to find a cure for, that we should be very, very careful because there is no history on what the side effects or long-term effects can be. Is that right so far?
That was a spectacular summary. I couldn't have said it better myself. That was awesome.
Okay. All right. So in the last 2 minutes that we have, what do you want to leave us with?
I just want to have people come and check out more of the information that we give. I mean, if you can go to coursesformastery.com, check out our upcoming boot camp. Follow me on Instagram, which is at Dr. Tenpenny. Follow me on Twitter, which is Busy Dr. T. Those are the places are in social media. Facebook is Dr. Tenpenny on Vaccines. Come and join us. Get some information. Education is power. And then you can make a fully informed decision about what you want to do with vaccines for your children and for you as an adult.
So you were saying before that there are things that people can do, like joining up with these quote unquote societies or groups that are anti-vaccine, or at least making us take it. I'm forgetting my English now. And that maybe there could be some political power there where people can have a choice. I mean, again, there is a big worry that some autism is happening. There's a spike in autism because of these viruses. And I was telling you during the break that I took all of my kids in for all of the vaccines that they needed to get, but I did it a little bit later because I was concerned that they give the same amount in a vial of a vaccine to a 4-kilo baby that they would give to a 6-kilo baby, and that just didn't make sense to me. And therefore, I waited until they were a little bit older. Would you suggest that if a mother decides in any case she wants to just give her kids these things?
Yes, it makes it safer. It doesn't guarantee safety.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Because we know that you're anti-vaccine.
No, wait. Don't put that label out there, because I'm informed about vaccines. And so, you know, once you label me, you negate me. That was Kierkegaard's famous quote, I am informed about the decisions that I make, and nobody has to spend 40,000 hours and 20 years of your life to get as informed as I am. But you do need to spend, you know, a couple of hours at least looking through this. And so the way I say it makes it safer, it doesn't guarantee safety, is because you can be an adult. You can be a 70 kilogram adult and still be injured by vaccines.
Yes, yes.
So taking it a little bit later does make it make it safer, but does not guarantee safety.
Okay. And I want to say here, my mother always taught me, don't take any medicines, let alone vaccines, but medicines that haven't been around for at least 20 years, so they can know what the side effects or long-term effects of that medicine might be. And I think it's very, very good advice as well. And saying that with this COVID-19 vaccine that they all want to push out, and so quickly, and with a lot of people who are afraid that we won't be able to step on an airplane, get onto a bus, even go to a public place unless we can prove that we've had this vaccine, this is something very scary that really infringes on our personal rights. And that would be a good reason for everybody, if they want to check out these groups that are for having the free choice to whether to get a vaccine or not. And that's a very important point I want to put across in the show as well. Dr. Tenpenny, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll give out your websites on our page where the show is podcasted. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great pleasure.
All right. We should all just be safe and healthy. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. If you have any comments or questions, you can write us at info@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.